بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة. إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا. وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون. في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين على سرر موضونة متكئين عليها متقابلين. يطوف عليهم ولدان مخلدون بأكواب وأباريق وكأس من معين. لا يصدعون عنها ولا ينزفون وفاكهة مما يتخيرون ولحم طير مما يشتهون وحور عين كأمثال اللؤلؤ المكنون جزاء بما كانوا يعملون. لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا تأثيما إلا قيلا سلاما سلاما. وأصحاب اليمين ما أصحاب اليمين في سدر مخضود وطلح منضود وظل ممدود وماء مسكوب وفاكهة كثيرة لا مقطوعة ولا ممنوعة وفرش مرفوعة إنا أنشأناهن إنشاء فجعلناهن أبكارا عربا أترابا لأصحاب اليمين. ثلة من الأولين وثلة من الآخرين وأصحاب
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فتور، ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو هسير. ولقد زينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيها وجعلناها رجوما للشياطين وأعتدنا لهم عذاب السعير. وللذين كفروا بربهم عذاب جهنم وبئس المصير. إذا ألقوا فيها سمعوا لها شهيقا وهي تفور، تكاد تميز من الغيظ، كلما ألقي فيها فوج سألهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم نذير. قالوا بلى قد جاءنا نذيرا فكذبنا وقلنا ما نزل الله من شيء إن أنتم إلا في ضلال كبير. وقالوا لو كنا نسمع أو نأكل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير. فاعترفوا بذنبهم فسحقا لأصحاب السعير. إن الذين يخشون ربهم بالغيب لهم مغفرة وأجر كبير. وأسروا قولكم أو اجهروا به إنه عليم بذات الصدور. ألا يعلم من خلق وهو اللطيف الخبير. هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها وكلوا من رزقه وإليه النشور. أأمنتم من في السماء أن يخسف بكم الأرض فإذا هي تمور، أم أمنتم من في السماء أن يرسل عليكم حاسبا فستعلمون كيف نذير. ولقد كذب الذين من قبلهم فكيف كان نكير. أولم يروا إلى الطير فوقهم صافات ويقبض، ما يمسكهن إلا الرحمن إنه بكل شيء بصير. أمن هذا الذي هو جند لكم ينصركم من دون الرحمن، إن الكافرون إلا في غرور. أمن هذا الذي يرزقكم إن أمسك رزقه، بل لجوا في عتو ونفور. أفمن يمشي مكبا على وجهه أهدى أمن يمشي سويا على صراط مستقيم. قل هو الذي أنشأكم وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة قليلا ما تشكرون. قل هو الذي ذرأكم في الأرض وإليه تحشرون. ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين. قل إنما العلم عند الله وإنما أنا نذير مبين. فلما رأوه زلفة سيئت وجوه الذين كفروا وقيل هذا الذي كنتم به تدعون. قل أرأيتم إن أهلكني الله ومن معي أو رحمنا فمن يجير الكافرين من عذاب أليم. قل هو الرحمن آمنا به وعليه توكلنا فستعلمون من هو في ضلال مبين. قل أرأيتم إن أصبح ماؤكم غورا فمن يأتيكم بماء معين. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Excellent, inshallah. Just wanted to make a few announcements. First, my condolences on the Shahadat of Imam Sajjad. The second is that we have a guest speaker from next week on Friday. Sayyid Hussein Zaidi is going to be with us on September 10th. Friday, September 10th, our program will be at 7 p.m., inshallah. please stay tuned on our WhatsApp and social media channels for other upcoming events, inshallah. And with that, I will invite Sheikh with Allah's salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبو القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وارواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. It's a real privilege and honor to be back here with brothers and sisters in the Hadi family. I've been away. For me, it seemed like a very long time, and I really missed being here. I missed you guys. I hope that Allah accepts the efforts, the ibadah, the worship, and the commemoration of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. I also hope that, or I want to appreciate Sheikh Salim for coming here. I was listening to the lectures online, and I really appreciated how much time he put into those lectures and the benefits that the believers were able to reap. So inshallah, Allah bless him and his family. Also, I was away, but I do want to thank our volunteers, the brothers and sisters who put in that effort and kept this going. Inshallah, Allah accepts that effort. I think sometimes, at least for myself, we don't know what a tawfiq it is to be able to serve others in this way, to be able to host people who are guests of Imam Hussein. If you look at our greats, I'm going to talk about the spiritual teacher of Allama Tabatabai, Ayatollah Sayyid Qadhi Tabatabai. When it came to the gatherings of Imam Hussein, you and I, we've seen what it's like in Arba'een, where people will take your shoes and wax your shoes. The Ayatollah would take the shoes of the people who came to these gatherings. So it's a tawfiq. Inshallah, Allah doesn't take that tawfiq from us that we're able to serve. And of course, I appreciate the mu'mineen and mu'minat who made time, because otherwise this would not have been the same without your presence. Inshallah, Allah accept it on behalf of everyone. Well, start with a salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, I've been away a long time, and there's a lot to discuss. We'll see how much of it we're able to get to today. But there's some very important events. The first and most important, of course, is that we're going to commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Sajjad. Salamu alayhi alayhi. Salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. That's going to be the main topic, but before I get into that, you and I, we know that we lost one of our greats. Ayatollah Hakim was one of our greats, one of our ulama in Najaf, one of our maraja, and sadly he went to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask that brothers and sisters join me in reciting a Fatiha for his soul. So this great man, he spent his life doing what we're trying to do, studying the words of the Ahlul Bayt, and then after that, spreading the words of the Ahlul Bayt. And he was a mujahid. He spent years in the penitentiary. These things, for us, it's kind of hard to imagine because we don't know what it's like. But he spent years in the penitentiary in the time of Saddam for Islam. Not just that he was teaching or preaching, but when it came the time to pay the price, he paid the price. Inshallah, Allah raise him with the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. Also, a quick reminder, brothers and sisters, that the month of Safar is approaching. From a spiritual point of view, this is one of those months that we want to take advantage of. The Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they really suffered. If you go back 1400 years ago, during this month, it was a very, very difficult time for the Ahlul Bayt. Imagine that tiny caravan, what they were doing during this time. It's a very difficult month, and if you look in Mufatih al-Janan, you find that we're recommended to give sadaqah for this month. This is a good month. If brothers and sisters are interested in giving some sadaqah, it's a very good month to do that. There are also du'as, ideally daily, a short du'a, which is found in Mufatih al-Janan, Ya Shadid al-Quwa. If we look in Mufatih al-Janan, if we can recite this du'a daily, we find that the Urafa have also recommended this for us for this particular month, a very good idea for us to do. So du'a, sadaqah, very important. And of course, we'll be commemorating those events because, of course, we have the passing of Rasulullah. We have many events to commemorate, inshallah. That'll happen in due time. I do want to mention this, though, as well. If you look at the words of the Urafa, the advice that they give us, when it comes to warding off bala, because when I mentioned reciting those du'as, inshallah, that we'll find in Mufatih al-Jannah, or if it's giving sadaqah, what we're doing is we're warding off potential bala. There's some balaya that we don't have to experience. We don't have to go through this difficulty. The Ahlul Bayt want us to experience Allah's best. Part of that is by being proactive and keeping the balaya away. How do I keep the balaya away? When I give sadaqah. When I make dua. It wards it off before it even happens. But still, having said that, if you look at the reminders that the Urafa give us, they tell us this. Instead of us only focusing on the power of dua or the power of sadaqah, if we really don't want to experience bala, we want to experience Allah's best in this world, what they tell us to do is this. The niyyah from us should really be true. We want to change ourselves, reform ourselves, take practical steps so that we experience Allah's best. The approach of Islam is very practical. Yes, dua works, sadaqah works 100%. But is the approach, I sit back, and if there is a lifestyle change that I could make that would prevent bad things from happening, I don't do that, the replacement for me doing my responsibility is dua. Then we shouldn't expect Allah's best. They emphasize our role in preventing terrible things from happening. So just a quick reminder, but of course the dua and the sadaqah is something to be there. There's a story that's not true, inshallah. They said that once there was this man, this old man, and he got very ill to the extent that his wife got worried. She said, we've got to go to the doctor. You're not doing very well. And they went to the doctor, and the doctor looked at his situation, and he was kind of frowning, not looking too happy. The man stepped out of the room, but the wife said, I need to talk to you, doc. What's going on? I want you to give it to me straight. He said, your husband is facing a very serious condition. Unless you do the following steps, your husband won't make it. She said, what steps? Anything, it's my husband, whatever it takes. He said, you've got to always tell your husband how much you love him. You've got to wait on him hand and foot. You've got to cook him 3 meals a day. Anything he asks for you, you have to do that. If you do that, he'll live. She came out of the doctor's office and her husband said, what did the doctor tell you? The wife looked at him and said, you're not going to make it. The approach is the practical approach, Ahlul Bayt. The steps that I can take in order to ward off those balaya. Now, the other thing, let's see if we have time to talk about this one or not today, is that you and I are also, because I was away from you guys, I was staying in a hotel. When I'm in a hotel, I get time to watch Fox News and the corporate media, and I watch Fox News for kicks. When you look at corporate media, you look at the spin that they're putting on the pullout from Afghanistan, the withdrawal. We just saw something very big, brothers and sisters. The longest war that America has ever had, longer than Vietnam, were the atrocities that they did in Afghanistan. And of course, there's a certain spin that they're trying to put on it, and a certain way that they want people, those who follow corporate media, to believe and to feel. But for you and I, as part of the Hadi family, where we're field Muslims, not house Muslims, how should we feel about the pullout? What just happened? What lessons can we take from this? Inshallah, if Allah gives tawfiq, if there's time, then maybe I'll touch on this just a little bit. But first, a salawat, please. But of course, the main part of the topic, the real reason we're here and we're gathered to discuss, is that we're mourning the death of a champion, a beacon of light for the mu'mineen and mu'minat, a game changer, Imam Sajjad. Imam Sajjad was the embodiment of hope for the believers. When you and I are mourning him, we're mourning the death of the Imam is something that only the ma'asum can comprehend, how serious this was, what a blow it was. But let's try, human beings, to try and see what we can gather from this. What did our Imam do for us? What were his contributions? Why is it that you and I say that the Imam represented hope? You see, brothers and sisters, the worst thing that can happen to a person is when, but no matter what we're facing, inshallah, we want to see how we prepare for the Imam of the time, right? Our biggest goal. But in our personal lives, sometimes difficulties we face in our marriages, in our businesses, jobs, opportunities, raising our children, dealing with our parents, there's difficulties, there's challenges that we face as believers. But what's bigger than any of these challenges, and I'm going to mention the hadith, is the Imam says, when we lose hope. Listen to this now. This is from Amir al-Mu'mineen. Salawat, please. He says, A'zamul bala. Imam Ali saying, A'zamul bala, the greatest affliction. He says, Inqita'ur rajah. When I finally the light goes out in the eyes of the Terminator, it's all over. I can't. I give up. I can't resist anymore. So what our Imam did was to resist. Remember, and we've talked about some of these things, so I don't want to repeat what I've already shared, but just a bit of a reminder so that we appreciate what we're going to learn from the Imam. Our Imam revived us and revived Islam when the very life of Islam was in the balance. All that stood between kufr taking over the world and all of the efforts of all of the anbiya being wiped out was that tiny caravan that was moving to Sham. Remember, what did Imam Sajjad do for us? The leadership of Imam Sajjad. That caravan was all that stood between Islam and Kufr. Islam was, if you look at, seen as its weakest stage. The believers, we talked about this, so I'm not going to go into this a lot. The believers were broken. If you can do that to the grandson of the Prophet, if you can beat his head with a stick, then, so all that stood between Islam and Kufr and all the works of the Anbiya was the leadership of Imam Sajjad guiding that tiny caravan. And the Imam mentioned that once the light goes out of our eyes, once we finally stop, we finally lose hope, that's the greatest bala. Because there's a lesson that Islam wants us to have, that Allah wants us to learn. The lesson that Allah wants us to learn as believers is this. No matter what situation we're in, no matter how long we've been at it, no matter the mistakes we've made in the past, there's always hope. No matter what our situation is, we can fix it if we do our responsibility. The believer never abandons hope. What the leader says, he says, developing this Islamic mindset that things work out for good. My situation is not hopeless. These unfortunate things that I've seen, even the mistakes that I've made, it's not too late yet. He says, this is your greatest jihad. This mindset. Why? He said, well, if you have hope, then, in our words, you can get back on your feet. You put one foot after the other. You keep throwing punches. What the imam said, the greatest bala was when I finally say, that's it, done. So the Quranic mindset, and I just want to mention a verse of Quran, and then after that, let's... The verse of Quran is this. One of the verses of the Quran, Surah 11 and verse number 49. Fasbir. Be patient. Continue to resist. Do your responsibility. Inna al-aqibata lil-muttaqeen. The end result will work out in the favor of the believers. It might seem unfair. The odds might be stacked against me. Other people are doing the wrong thing. Even I may have made mistakes. But fasbir, be patient. Inna al-aqibata. What happens is, God can fix anything. Imam Sajjad, I'm going to give you the words of Imam Sajjad. When he addresses God, and when you and I, as teachers, as parents, as spouses, as mu'mineen and mu'minat, as those who are involved, because you and I, we're talking to other believers. We're holding that rope of wilayah, keeping everybody moving. What did Imam Sajjad teach us? Even about mistakes. Ya mubaddi, God. Ya mubaddila sayyi'at bi'adhafiha min al-hasanat. Dua from the imam. God is the person who changes sin, sayyi'at, mistakes, missteps, strategic errors, bi'adhafiha min al-hasanat, into multiple good deeds. I may have burned opportunities. It's not too late. Resist. Fasbir. Ayat of Quran. So, having said that, the imam was that symbol of hope, that person who, unbelievable leadership, the most creative leadership, resisting, a tireless fighter, at times when Islam, it looked like Yazid had won. It looked like it. But the imam continued to resist. I encourage our brothers and sisters, and I'm going to say this now, for those of us who are parents, we want to introduce the imam as is. Because some people have done something really cruel. They've introduced Imam Zainul Abidin, this champion, Sayyidul Muqawama, the beacon of light, the hope. They've changed him into, in the minds of some, the sick imam. The imam in Farsi, Bimar. The imam was sick. I've met good mu'mineen, and before discovering what Imam Sajjad had to offer, they said, they were honest, he wasn't a role model. If all I'm going to look at is somebody who's sick, who's weak, who's always crying, I don't see the contributions, the how did he best some of the most savage of the tawagit? He bested them, they martyred him. 34 long years, blood, sweat, and tears, he brought Islam back. If the believers had done, because Imam Sajjad, of course, when we lost Imam Sajjad, Imam Baqir took it to a whole nother level. And if the believers had done their responsibility, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam would have been the person to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. Unfortunately, believers failed. Otherwise, the work of, but of course, that doesn't mean that Islam, in general, Islam, yeah, we suffer because believers didn't do their responsibility. But every step that the Imam took counted. So my recommendation for brothers and sisters, because you and I, we have to introduce the imams. And it's not just enough that we come to lectures and the lectures are correct. That's part of it. But one part of it is you and I as teachers, as parents, as friends, introducing the Ahlul Bayt as they were. How? A book I'd like us to recommend for brothers and sisters to be reading, because we want to introduce these imams, is a book called The Lives of the 12. Volume 2 talks about Imam Sajjad. Just so that when we're speaking about this imam, we have a bit more of information. What did he do? Because, you see, if we know our imam better, it'll even help us spiritually in this way. will go to him for tawassul. Right now, who do we go to? We go to Imam Hussein. We go to Imam, right? Because we know them. We know their country, at least some of it. Nothing compared to what they really did, but we know them. But don't you know, at the most difficult times, remember the massacre of Hurra, right? When Yazid's army marched on Medina, and there was so much, it's so horrifying what happened. I'll just one sentence. The masjid of Rasulullah, there was blood rolling down the masjid. That's how many heads were severed in the masjid. You know where people went? The house of Imam Sajjad. 400 women and their families went to Imam Sajjad, and he took care of them. You know, even the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, Marwan, la'natullah alayh, he sent his family over there in that ordeal, that crisis. So we're talking about an imam who's connected to God. On the day of judgment, we'll see his true reality when the hadith says that munadi, that caller, Aina Zainul Abidi, that's when most people will know him. But at least we can make some efforts to get to know him now. Salawat, please. Now, brothers and sisters, because, and I don't want to talk too long tonight, I'll see how I'm able to do this, but we've already had the tawfiq to spend some time, meaning as a Hadi family, talking about the first period of the imamate of the imam. Why it was, we already had this discussion. Why did he demonstrate in the times when Islam was the weakest, the true stance of Ahlul Bayt to the tawaghit? Those fiery khutbas. You'll never see that in the later part of the imam's life. Why was it at that time that the imam lay those fiery, those in front when Islam was so weak? Why then? What was he doing? We also had the time to talk about the latter part of the imam, at least to a certain extent, about the quiet infrastructural work that the imam did for those 34 long years. What did our imam do? How did he right the ship? What did he do? So because we talked a little bit about that, and that's, inshallah, we can go over, we can refer back to the books, we can remember some of what was discussed over there. I don't want to spend time, a lot of time talking about that, but that's definitely worthwhile. We should have it on our fingertips. We should be, if somebody questions, well, what did the imam do? You and I, we're literally, we sit down, we'll share with anybody. That's our homework for later, inshallah. What I want to talk about is one of the teachings of the imam. And I'm not sure, meaning, first of all, I don't have a clock in front of me. I don't know how long I should talk. I don't know. We'll see. One of the teachings of the imam, which is so beautiful and has so many applications, global applications, which inshallah maybe we'll be able to talk about, for one line of the imam, global applications in relying to return of the imam of the time, one. But also in our personal lives, applications. If we're going through struggles, the imam's words, important lesson for us. What are we going to get from the imam? I want to talk about one line of a dua that our imam used to recite for the month of Ramadan. One line for it. Very famous dua, but our imam would recite this dua daily. The first line of this beautiful dua is this. Ilahi. The imam speaking. Ilahi, la tu'addibni bi'uqubatik. Oh Allah, don't straighten me out. Don't make me mu'addab. La tu'addibni. Don't teach me a lesson. Don't straighten me out bi'uqubatik, with your punishment. Don't straighten me out with your punishment. I want to, before I discuss what I want to share with brothers and sisters, I want us to think about this. Why is it, we have to go global with this, but also it has applications in our personal lives, in our family lives, if we're dealing with our health, if we're trying to get our family back on track, if we're in an Islamic organization, there's a lot of applications to this, one line of this, of the imam. The question that we want to kind of get our minds to think about, to ponder over is this. Why is it that for many of us, I'm taking this to myself. I have to catch hell before I reform myself. Why isn't a gentle reminder from Allah enough? That Allah gives a gentle, because Allah gives gentle reminders. A believer, a mu'min or mu'mina is straying off course, is making some mistakes. And Allah is like, out of his kindness, out of his tarbiyah, tries to give a gentle reminder. I want to give some examples. But then the mu'min or mu'mina doesn't take it. When do I take it? When do I get serious? Bi'uqubatik. When God, because they have a saying in Farsi, they say this, Chupe khoda seda nadare. The stick of God, because God has more than one way of reminding us. The first way is gentle reminders, kindness, signs that things aren't going so well, time to take practical steps, let's reform ourselves, let's change our lives. And there's so many applications, personal life, the big one is the imam. The big one is the imam, but in my personal life, in my marriage, with my children, what about this one? Let's think about this way too. Sometimes you and I are enjoying a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right now I'm in the midst of a blessing, enjoying victory after victory by the help of Allah. Let's say I'm in a very good marriage by the grace of God, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do I appreciate Allah's blessings or do his blessings become normal? And when I appreciate it is when Allah teaches me and reminds me bi'uqubatik. La tu'addibni bi'uqub. Don't teach me, don't remind me, you're in control of everything. Don't make it be that I have to catch hell first. And then after that, and suddenly, now I'm awake. Oh Allah, it's me and you, I understand. Why not enjoy the blessings right while they're happening? Why is it if I see something wrong, instead of me stepping in, changing, bettering myself, I have to wait till it gets that difficult, because God does have, if gentle reminders don't work, God has stinging slaps. Let me give us some examples so we see how this applies. Let's say I'm struggling with prayer and praying on time. Simple example, praying on time. Why is it that I'm capable of waking up? If I have to, I will definitely wake up. But when God does it his way, it's a struggle. Why is it such a struggle? Why is it that in corporate America, people are able to follow instructions? It's not people, they're incapable, I can't follow. I know how. But somehow in a situation where I'm treated right and I'm respected, then suddenly you see a different side of me. Why is it that sometimes, if I'm enjoying Allah's blessings, victory after victory, right? I'm in the midst of blessings. Instead of that making me more grateful to God, I should be more closer to Him. Why do I forget God? Why is it that I only, right? The Imam is teaching us before that, proactive, I enjoy Allah's blessings. I don't need a gentle reminder from God. I want you to do this way. That should be enough for the mu'min or mu'mina. Okay, inshallah, we don't want to go too long. So, do we have Sayyid Ali Jumu'ah coming? Okay, great. Salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum. So, let me see if I can take a little bit of, just a brief time to go to the coming of the Imam. And then see if this can apply to us when it comes to the coming of the Imam. Brothers and sisters, why is it that in the time of Amirul Mu'mineen, because when you and I look at Karbala and what happened, the family of the Prophet going in chains, being led by the heads of their father and the other shuhada on sticks, why is it that it took that to wake people up? Sometimes you and I, we say, well, in Medina, if Saqifa hadn't happened, and that's true, if people had done their responsibility in Saqifa, but you know what was closer to the believers before Saqifa? The government of Amirul Mu'mineen. Right? Saqifa, okay, so the government of Amirul Mu'mineen. Question now, Didn't the people experience Allah's best under the government of Ali? Why did the government of Ali become a failed state? The government of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Why? 4 years, right? 4 years. Did Imam Ali not do justice? 100% he did justice. Wasn't it better for the masses? The masses of the people. They were suffering under the Khilafah of Uthman. Right? When Amir al-Mu'mineen, he righted the ship. But the masses, did they defend Ali? The masses. No. The masses didn't defend Ali. What went wrong? Because Ali, life was better under Ali. He was a better general than Muawiyah. In the Battle of Siffin, you and I heard about it, how long it lasted. Imam Ali was a better general. He lost 25,000 people. Muawiyah lost 45,000. Why did people respond to the tarbiyah of Muawiyah and didn't respond to the tarbiyah of Ali? Imam Ali, in Nahj al-Balagha, where he's saying that there are ashbah al-rijal. What went wrong? What was it? And again, there's not time to go over and explore it, but it's something to think about, that before, that people experienced God's kingdom on the earth. What went wrong? Why is it so important? The Imam is saying, before that happens, before Karbala happens, لا تؤدبني بأقوبة, appreciate the blessings. Why? Because people knew who Ali was. There's a secret. And now I just want to wrap it up real quick. Okay? So, the way of the Ahlul Bayt and the right way to do things is that the Ahlul Bayt, the Imam of our time, in his training of us, he's merciful. But we have to want it. The hadith of Ahlul Bayt, there's no time now, they say that the just ruler is like a merciful father, the just ruler. He respects you, he's kind to you, he does all the right things. If the nafs has a lot of love of the dunya, we respond better when we're treated like animals. Muawiyah was a dictator. You couldn't talk back to Ali, you couldn't give smack, you couldn't do give talk smack to Muawiyah. Muawiyah would let you have it. If we're not, haven't been trained, we respond better to being treated like a wild animal. And the same people who wouldn't go fight the Khawarij, when Muawiyah came, read about it in the books, when Muawiyah came in power, they got themselves, they went to fight the Khawarij. You wouldn't fight them for Ali when Ali was there. Don't go out in the summer. I don't want to go out in the summer, it's too hot. The winter is too cold. But Muawiyah says go. That's one point. And again, this takes more explanation. Number two, should I misbehave? Let's say I'm trying to do these things the right way. Let's say it's a mother who's hearing these hadith, right? A mother. And I'm raising my children during the first 7 years. And Islam says freedom, a lot of freedom. Inshallah, we'll get a chance to talk about that. But I know my kids will respond if I'm a little more strong. The temptation is, or sometimes let's say in a relationship, I know what to do to get you in order. In African Americans, you're getting a little big for your britches. I can straighten you out. I know what to do. Is it the right thing to do? What the Ahlul Bayt have told us is that you don't leave the right way of behaving. Imam Hussein taught us, Man hawala amran bima'siyatillah. If somebody is tempted to disobey and misbehave, then Allah makes it a lot worse. So we shouldn't do that. Now, the last thing that I wanted to mention was a little bit about what's happening in Afghanistan and then also a solution. But I definitely don't want to take more time than is needed. Inshallah, we'll leave that for another time. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, our brother will be taking us to the camp of Aba Abdullah and to Imam Sajjad. So we'll end with saying salams to our Imam. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Muhammad, ya Ali ibn al-Husayn, ya Zain al-Abidin, ayyuha Sajjad, ya ibn Rasulullah,
we know that the people at your time didn't appreciate you. They didn't do what their responsibility was. Because they didn't do their responsibility, then you had to walk with the heads of your fathers, the shuhada, on spears in order to get Islam to us. But we hope that we're able to do right by God, and we're able to do right in our families, so that that never happens again. We end with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
صلى على محمد وآل محمد. ثانية على حب الزهراء صلى على محمد وآل محمد. ثالثة على تعجيل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمن صلى على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله. Peace and blessings be upon you, يا رسول الله. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله. Peace and blessings be upon you, Ya Aba Abdillah. Everybody together. Ya Habibi, Ya Hussein. Ya Habibi, Ya Hussein. Nur Aini. حسين يا حبيبي يا حسين نور عيني يا حسين our beloved حسين light of our eyes حسين يا رحمة الله الواسعة يا حسين O vast mercy of Allah Hussein. These are the days of the martyrdom of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. The Imam who was present in Karbala, who continued the legacy of Aba Abdullah, who allowed these majalis to live on until today. As we near towards the 20th of Safar, the day of Arba'een, we remember Zain al-Abidin's journey from Damascus to Karbala, when the sacred head of Imam al-Husayn was finally buried and the Imam and the captives of Ahl al-Bayt finally were able to bid farewell to Imam al-Husayn and the pure bodies of the martyrs. A blessed poet takes us to the scene of Karbala, when a companion named Jabir came to visit the Imam. The day of Ashura passed at such a great cost. Now the catastrophic evening of the travelers all lost. Zainab is left alone, with children in sorrow drowned. Tents burn, heat of flames of sun and sand. children scared long for a kinder land. Wed neither by power nor by years obscured. Hard is the lot her injured nerves endure. Preserve through time the scenes of Karbala impart, each word of Zainab's tortured heart. By length of toll, a brightest perfection she, exceptionally brave and just in all did she. Dressed by martyrdom, the martyr smile, and blood flows fresh at opening of martyr's file. More than all in the highest grade blessed, O martyrs, come, take your empire in our breast. Full many a gem of purest ray serene, now gone to eternity, leaving their blood evergreen. Hussein's voice, the wind still preserved, we answer him here in heaven's paradise reserve. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Imam al-Sajjad ill through Karbala to allow the bloodline of Prophet Muhammad and the Imamah to continue, or else he would have almost been martyred for the sake of Aba Abdullah, or else he would have been murdered also for the sake of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. On the 10th of Muharram at the time of Asr Salat, when his father Hussein was alone in the battlefield ready to fight, he withdrew to the camp of his ailing son, came beside his bed, woke him and told him that the story of Karbala was about to be over, that he was about to go and sacrifice his own life for the cause of Islam. It was at that time Imam al-Sajjad became Imam. He lost his brothers from Ali al-Akbar to Ali al-Asghar, the baby of Aba Abdullah, and even his cousins and companions. Imagine how the Imam may have expressed his grief with his auntie Zainab after the scene of Karbala poetically. What would Zainab tell Imam al-Sajjad, and what would Sajjad say to Zainab? Oh Sajjad, help me, what is this scene? The sight of Hussein and Abbas has caused my heart to bleed. Oh Auntie Zainab, there's Abbas's hand. I can't bear to pick it up off the sands. What about the headless body of Hussein? Who can see their father like this? Such unbearable pain. Look, auntie, there's the body of Akbar. And there's the shot neck of our young Asghar. The journey of hardship has just begun. The beating from the whips and chains, from them you cannot run. And when the battle came to an end, the Imam was taken captive and was brought to Kufa to Ibn Ziyad. Tortured all the way, whipped throughout the journey, chained and exhausted. Along the road, my hands they chained. Upon the spear, the head of Hussein. Zainab became tired and wan. An endless road we walked in pain. Along the road my hands they chained. Upon the spears the head of Hussein. Zainab became tired and wan. An endless road we walked in pain. Until they were taken to Yazid in Damascus, they continued, where they stayed for nearly a month. The narrations say, when the Imam was asked what was more difficult, Kufa or Sham, he replied, Asham, Asham, Asham. Yazid was known for his blasphemous poetry. He recited the infamous lines we know today. He said, Banu Hashim has messed with rulership, but no message ever came from God, nor did any angel ever descend from him. The Imam delivered a groundbreaking sermon that made the entire court weep over what had happened to Abu Abdullah. Yazid feared they flip against him. He ordered the Adhan reciter to call to prayer. When the reciter said, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, Imam Zain al-Abidin shouted to Yazid, Is Muhammad your grandfather or mine? If you say that he is your grandfather, they'll all know you're lying. And if you say that he is my grandfather, then why did you kill my father and plunder his property and take his women captive? Yazid ordered his swordsmen to kill the Imam, but Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam said that if you're going to kill him, then you must kill me with him. And they soon let the Imam go. Just before the 20th of Safar, Imam as-Sajjad and the captives were released when Yazid feared the people would rise against him. And that is when the first majlis, the first gathering was held in Damascus, in which Sayyidah Zainab told the people what happened in Karbala. And that's how her awareness campaign began. The Imam and captives made way to Karbala to say goodbye to the Imam and bury his head, which was with them along the way. Captives we were in the court of Yazid. On the 20th of Safar, we were finally free. We brought the heads and them buried. This day in my heart will forever bleed. This day in my heart will forever bleed. With the help of the Prophet's companion Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, who visited Karbala and heard the story of Abu Abdullah from Imam as-Sajjad, the pilgrimage of Arba'een began, and the spread of the story of Karbala was told by Jabir, spreading from town to town and country to another until it reached us. And 35 years passed, my brothers and sisters with the Imam in Medina, remembering Abu Abdullah every day, replaying the scenes of Karbala, watchful from Banu Umayyah meanwhile spreading Islam, praying and reciting supplications for his Shia to have in the years and generations to come, until he grew old and weak. Historians say he spent most of his life fasting by day and standing in prayer by night until the word grew of his admiration. People loved him, sought to his knowledge and revered him. This frightened the Umayyads, especially Al-Walid bin Abd al-Malik, who the narrations report once said, "My mind won't rest as long as Ali ibn al-Husayn is in this world." When Al-Walid became king, he decided to assassinate the Imam. He sent the poison to his governor of Medina and ordered him to mix the poison and give it to the Imam to drink. عظم الله لكم والآج. And that is when, my brothers and sisters, the poison reacted on the Imam's body, causing severe pain, leaving him in bed for days. He complained to Allah of this and thanked him for martyrdom at the hand of a wicked tyrant. And the soul of Imam al-Zain al-Abidin departed from this world. Wa aliyah, wa aliyah, wa shahida, wa mazluma. أبا محمد يا علي ابن الحسين يا زين العابدين يا ابن رسول الله يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفانا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل بيت محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين To Allah we belong and to Him is our return And soon the aggressors will know what change their affairs will take And the end times will be for the righteous Ya Allah in the name of Hussein our Lord we ask you And his mother and father and brother too And his nine descendants whom we all ask you through Hasten the reappearance of the awaited but awaiting Hussein of our time Imam al-Mahdi Bless us with this content with our actions our God Almighty Grant us good health, safety and prosperity In the preparation to defend our Imam's sanctity Make victorious those who defend the religion from every enemy Bless those who revive the cause of Hussein for there is remedy Forgive our sins, strengthen our wills and rest in peace our dead برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Inshallah, if we can recite a Fatiha in this gathering that is held in the majalis and everything that we recited on behalf of the mu'mini and the mu'minat and the deceased of the mu'mini and the mu'minat and towards the hastening of the reappearance of sahib al-zaman ajallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif wa the salawat ala muhammad wa ali muhammad and a Fatiha صلى الله على محمد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
Inshallah, there is about 10 minutes until prayer, so there will be prayer for those who wish to stay. And if anybody needs to do wudu or use the bathroom, they're downstairs, inshallah. So inshallah, in 10 minutes, we'll be starting the prayer. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة. إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين